Well, good morning, everybody. It's lovely to see you all this morning. It's nice to see some faces that I don't recognise, John and Gail. It's brilliant to be able to come together, isn't it, and just share around the Lord's table this morning. And I make no excuses this morning for changing things around a bit. We're going to do communion right in the middle of our service this morning because it's going to be the focal thing of what we do today to come around the Lord's table. So be prepared, it's going to happen right in the middle of our service. And the whole service this morning is going to be geared around the Lord's table. Isn't that exciting? That we're going to have a time sharing together and sharing around the wonderful thoughts of Jesus on the cross. It's all about the cross this morning. So let's just open up with a word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a couple of songs, and then just share together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for the cross. You were pierced for our transgressions. You were crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought peace was upon you. And by your wounds, we are healed. So, Father, this morning, thank you so much for the cross and for what it means. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together this morning, no matter whether it be here physically in the building or people joining us online. Father, I just pray your Holy Spirit will just move amongst us as we share together in the things that you have for us and as we share around your table this morning. So, Lord, Holy Spirit, just come and be with us this morning. Lord, we just offer up our praises to you to say thank you for all the things that you've done for us. So just give us a great time as we just step into your presence and just enjoy what you have for us this morning. Amen. We're going to start by singing a song called Far and Near, Hear the Call.
Let his name, let praise.
That the victory is yours. Lord, the things that you did for us, Lord, we can't begin to fathom really or understand what you must have gone through. But Lord, we're just so thankful that you did. And this morning, Father, I just pray as we come around your table that you will just remind us once again of the sacrifice that you made for us. Well, most of you have seen the notice sheet that Annalise has emailed out. Not really a lot more to say than what's on it, other than if you are one of the ladies that joined the Women's Fellowship Group, then they're meeting, just a reminder that they're meeting this Wednesday, 2:30. I'm sure they'll have a fantastic time as they meet together. How are you getting on with Immerse? Is it going good? Are you enjoying it? Well, by this stage, if you've managed to keep up with the challenge, You should be halfway through. Isn't that exciting? So by now we've read, in theory, half of the whole of the New Testament. There's only 4 weeks to go. We're into week five. That's exciting, isn't it? And again, we've got some excitement again this morning as we just look at a few thoughts from Mark's Gospel, where we're going to be heading in the coming week. So let's see the Immerse video, and we'll just watch and see what's going to be coming up.
If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. The words of Jesus, spoken to Peter and the other disciples at the midpoint of Mark's Gospel, were anything but symbolic. By the second half of the first century AD, many followers of Jesus, including Peter, had to decide if the good news was worth dying for. It was not a foregone conclusion that they would lay down their lives. Peter, for his part, was famous for two things: boldly revealing Jesus' identity as the Messiah, the Son of God, and just as boldly denying that he ever knew him. Decades later, as the Roman Empire under the rule of Nero took aim at followers of Jesus, Peter made his choice clear. He would give up his life. But first, he would make sure believers in Rome and generations who came after them knew exactly what they and he were dying for. Before he died, Peter entrusted his memories about Jesus to a friend named Mark. There was little time to waste, and you can feel the urgency in Mark's Gospel. It reads like a fast-paced drama. Jesus moves quickly from one place to the next, preaching and healing. One question follows him everywhere he goes: who is this man? The crowds want to know. The religious leaders want to know. Jesus' family and even his own disciples search for the answer. But when it's finally revealed in the middle of Mark's story, no one, not even the disciples, are prepared for what comes next. According to Mark, Jesus, not the emperor, is the Son of God. He is the one true king. But Jesus offers an upside-down kingdom where victory comes through defeat. It's only when Jesus dies and his disciples scatter that it finally becomes clear, and it's a Roman soldier, one of his executioners, who realizes first, the man he just killed is the real Son of God. This is what divinity in flesh looks like. Peter entrusted his memories to Mark and wrote two letters of his own to encourage believers to make the same choice Jesus did: victory through defeat, life through death, joy through suffering. Because Peter had seen the glory of Jesus too, and he had faith that he would see it again.
It's good, isn't it? It's good to know that we have life, don't we, through Jesus' death on the cross for us. Let's just spend a couple of minutes just in prayer. I'm going to just pause and allow you to just bring your prayers before you. There's lots of people that we need to pray for, isn't there? We've heard some shocking things on the news this week from what's been happening with our politicians and all sorts of things that are going on in the world. So let's just spend a couple of minutes just in quiet, reflective prayer. And I'll just bring us all together. And then we're going to sing a song together and then come around the table. Lord, we've been reminded this week that we live in a very imperfect world. So many things going on that we'd rather not happen. But Lord, and amongst all this, we know that you're still there. You haven't gone away. You still reach out and cry over us. And this morning it must break your heart as you see the things that we are doing. And Lord, so much we could pray for, so many people in our fellowship that need your touch right now. And Lord, I just bring them to you. Lord, you know them all by name. And Father, I just pray you'll just be with them wherever they are. And Lord, just be with us this morning as we look now to the cross and we just consider and remember the things that you've done for us on Calvary's tree. Amen. We're going to sing a fairly new song that we've sung a couple of times before, but while we've been on Zoom. And it's a song called Waymaker. And I've chosen this morning because it just reminds me that in amongst everything that's going on, Jesus makes a way. He is the miracle worker. He is the light in the darkness. And so this morning, let's sing this together. It's on the video. I'm going to play it. And let's just sing together. And then we're going to come around the table and just remember the things that God has done for us. In 1 Corinthians, "For I receive from the Lord what I also pass to you, The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So this morning, if you just open your hands, the servers will just drop a piece of bread into your hands, and we're going to eat this individually as we just remember that Christ died for us. Then afterwards, the cups will come round, and we're going to hold them, and we're going to drink collectively and remember the things that God has done for us, the way he shed his blood on Calvary's tree. Heavenly Father, this morning, again, we just come to you and say thank you. Thank you so much for providing a way back to yourself, for planning in Jesus to come and to give his life for us, for that broken body, that shed blood that was done sacrificially and willingly for me. And so this morning, as we just share together, we have life through his death, and by his wounds we are healed. He is the light in the darkness. Let's just share together. before I just share a few words this morning from a passage in Mark's Gospel, the music group are going to just come back and we're just going to just sing this song through a couple of times. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, use me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Thanks, Beth. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, grant, we pray, that we might be grounded and settled in your truth by the coming of your Holy Spirit into our hearts. What we do not know, reveal to us. What is lacking within us, make complete. That which we do know, confirm in us and keep us blameless in your service through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Right, Pam, come and share our reading with us this morning.
And we can hear me. This morning's gospel is taken from Mark 8:27 to 38. You must page 274. Jesus and his disciples left Galilee and went up to the villages near Caesarea Philippa. As they were walking along, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" Well, they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say you are one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter replied, "You are the Messiah." But Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the religious law. He will be killed. But 3 days later, he will rise from the dead, as he talked about this openly with his disciples. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Jesus turned around and looked at the disciples, then reprimanded Peter, "Get away from me, Satan, he said, you are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what? You will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of the person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels.
Well, we've reached the midpoint in our journey, haven't we, through the New Testament. Luke and Paul have given their account of who they think Jesus is. Now it's Mark's turn to share his story. And he doesn't hang about getting right to it. Kicking off with John the Baptist's ministry, we only have to wait until verse 9 of chapter 1 before Jesus enters the narrative. He's eager to share the good news about Jesus the Messiah and wants the reader to get it right from the off. Right from page 1. And by the time we get to our passage for today, there have already been too many miracles to count, with two happening just before our text. Jesus feeding a crowd of 4,000, and then the healing of a blind man. But this morning, I really want to home in on one verse. And that verse is Jesus saying, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross, and follow me. And to become a true disciple of Jesus, I think we need to observe three things. I'm going to show you a picture of the most beautiful thing in the entire world. Sleek, sophisticated, crafted, and just stunning from every angle. Are you ready? Isn't it a thing of beauty? No? Isaac, what do you think? Is that a thing of beauty? No. This is the production model of the Aston Martin Valhalla. Come on, guys. It's a thing of absolute... Look at it. Look, just look at it. They're only going to build 999. It's got a top speed of 217 miles an hour, and it goes from 0 to 62 miles an hour in 2.5 seconds. Now, if I had my own way and a spare £580,000, I'd order mine today. Why? Because it's an Aston Martin, and I want one. But you know, this is really only a dream, isn't it? But it's surprising how many people spend their entire lives chasing dreams. And so the first thing I notice from our verse today is the need to give up your own way. And you know, giving up something can be really hard, can't it? How many of you have tried to give up something for Lent? Chocolate? Yeah. Coffee? Or TV, perhaps? The one thing that you recognise that you need less of in your life. And the more you think you need it, the harder it is to let go, isn't it? And it's not as though we're even giving it up forever, is it? Because what do we do after Easter's over? Now, where did I put that stash of Mars bars? And you're right back to square one, aren't you? But of course, Jesus is talking about giving up something much more here. He wants us to let go of our own way. And as Christians, we can no longer just walk through life pleasing ourselves. We cannot do it God's way and our way. So often these paths are so very different. And we cannot expect God to bless us if we try and do it on our own, disregarding the paths and the plans that he has for us. It's not about giving up things, although sometimes that may be required, but it's rather about surrendering our entire thought processes, our entire lives to Jesus. But is God's way any better than ours, really? And how can I know this as a fact? Let me show you something else. What do you see? Well, when I look at this picture, I was just struck by how beautiful it was. Just look at the symmetry. One side exactly mirroring the other. But not just left to right, just take an individual frond, perfectly mirrored on both sides. Now, if you thought my Aston Martin looked good, this has to be better. Just look at the paint job. The design is stunning, perfectly balanced, complete. And this was just one leaf of the thousands that there were in the forest that we were walking through on our holiday. And when you look at something like this in nature, there just has to be a creator God, right? Hallelujah. This didn't happen by chance, did it? This is not an accident. So if God can design a leaf this perfect, then surely the design that he has for your life and my life also has to be just as good, yes? David says in Psalm 18, God's way is perfect. All of the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield to all who look to him for protection. And if that's true, then we should have no fear in letting go of our own ideas, our dreams, and trusting God to shape us and guide us instead. Point number two. Jesus says, take up your cross. And I guess most of us have heard someone say something like, you know, we all have our cross to bear, don't we? As though this was somehow a negative thing or something we're trying to get rid of. But would Jesus really have said that if that was the case? The cross is a symbol of death and execution. And to live in Jesus, we are required to die to our old lives and take up the life that Jesus offers. That's what total immersion water baptism is all about. Literally, burying our old lives and being raised to new life in Jesus as we come out of the water. Isn't it a wonderful public way of showing our commitment to Jesus and his teachings? After all, didn't Jesus die publicly for you and for me? We're completely washed clean by Jesus' act of obedience on the cross, where he took on our sin, your sin and mine. And we gain eternal life through his sacrificial death. A mystery that I can't fully comprehend or even understand. But I have the faith to believe it nonetheless. And if you haven't been baptized this morning, then I would seriously encourage you to think about it. It is a wonderful experience and a wonderful way of celebrating Jesus in your life and sharing with all those that you know. Taking up your cross means being faithful to Jesus, even to the point of death. Revelation 2:10, if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. It's exciting, isn't it? 30 years or so ago, I was part of a church-based music and drama group. And we wrote our own songs and performed drama sketches to other churches as we were invited. And it was a really exciting time of sharing the gospel message in word and in song. And a few weeks back, I came across my drama folder. And in there was a monologue that I learned and performed called The Padded Cross. And I must admit, trying to relearn that again has proved almost impossible, believe it or not. But alas, I wanted to read it and share it this morning as it fits in with the whole idea of us taking up our cross. So I'll try it this morning. It's not going to be as good as I did it 30 years ago, but we'll see how we go. Well, here I am, Lord. You said take up your cross, and I'm here to do it. It's not easy, you know, this self-denial thing, but I mean to go through with it. Yes, sir, I bet you wish there were more disciples like me. I mean, I've counted the cost. I've surrendered my life. It's not an easy road, though, Lord. Not an easy road. Do you mind if I look over these crosses? Do you know, I'd like a kind of new one, Lord. I'm not fussy, you understand, but a disciple has to be relevant these days. You know, nice bold colours, even multicoloured. Ooh, you haven't got one that lights up, have you, Lord? I'm sure my friends would go, oh, wow, on that. Quite a lot of conversions in that range, I shouldn't doubt. Oh, and Lord, can it be comfortable? Padded vinyl or something. You see, I'm thinking of attracting others, and I'm sure if I could show them a comfortable one, I could win a lot over. I mean, I'm sure if you didn't notice it much, people would go for it. Oh, and Lord, can it sort of fold so I can stick it under my jacket? You know, there's some people I couldn't afford to cross. Know what I mean? Could be worth my job. Right, now that's that sorted out. Funny. There doesn't seem to be much choice here. Just this coarse, rough wood. Are these end-of-season sales, Lord? I mean, these would hurt. No. These were all right 2,000 years ago when people were wandering around in the desert. But this is the 21st century. It's 2021. I can tell you right now that none of my friends are going to be impressed by this. Oh, they'll just think I'm a nut or something. And my family. Oh, they'll just die. They'll probably cut me off. I mean, fair's fair. I want to be your disciple, but just being with you is all that counts. But life has to have balance too. And I mean, it makes that quite plain in the Bible, Lord. Still, I expect you know that. I mean, look at this cross, Lord. Nothing distinctive. Who's going to be impressed by that? Nobody lives this way today. Let's not overdo things. Start getting radical like this, and you'll have me off to the funny farm. Know what I mean? I mean, being a disciple is challenging and exciting, and I want to do it. But I do have some rights, you know. Now, let's see. Comfort, folding away, colour. What else is there? Oh, and Lord, no blood, okay? I can't stand the sight of blood. Ugh, yuck, I don't know how you managed it. I really don't. I just can't do it. I really can't. I don't want to think about it. Now, what else is there? Lord? Lord? Jesus? Funny? Where do you suppose he went to? I don't know. Strange way of getting disciples. Nobody said that making a stand for Jesus was going to be easy or comfortable. The Bible doesn't promise that all our problems are just going to vanish when you commit to following Christ. But God does promise to be with you every step of the way, providing the Holy Spirit to give you guidance in all circumstances. And the gospel message is the same as it's always been. We cannot pick and choose here. And the danger is that we try and package it up in such a way to make it more palatable and acceptable to today's society, completely destroying or clouding the way it was supposed to live our lives as disciples of the living God. Did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did Jesus really mean it when he said, love your neighbour as yourself? This morning we need to take up our cross, and Jesus only offers one choice. It's the unadorned, coarse, rough wooden one. Everything else is pure imitation. So this morning, let's stand up and be counted. And not be in any way ashamed of Jesus and the gospel message. And that's a really challenging thought, isn't it? True story. Worshippers at a ransacked church didn't realise its bell had been stolen until it failed to ring for the Sunday service. The Reverend Martin Faulkner said thieves targeted St Matthew's Withernsea, East Yorkshire, last Monday. Church staff reported the break-in, but failed to realise damage to a pair of cellar doors was caused by the bell being dropped 30 feet. It didn't occur to us to look up, the Reverend Faulkner said. And folks, this morning, we need to keep looking up and following Jesus. What does the writer of Hebrews say? Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So this morning, I want to simply encourage you to keep going. You are chosen by Almighty God, who has a purpose and a plan for your life. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the things of Jesus, remembering that he just wants the best for us. Right at the beginning of our reading this morning, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And this question is also for you and for me today. Jesus is personally saying to you, forget everyone else and what they think. Who do you say that I am? You know, the answer to that question, when you answer it for yourselves, will determine your whole future. And I'm not talking about an earthly future here, although it does determine that too, because I believe that no matter who you are, wherever you come from, you are going to live forever. We're all going to live forever. The thing is, it's where you're going to live that's important. Your past can be completely forgiven, and your future in Jesus is assured. Isn't that great? I'm going to say that again. Your past has been completely forgiven, and your future in Jesus is assured. It's not just something that might happen, it's an assurance that we have. But you know, we've got to live in the present, haven't we? So let's do that, remembering to do these three things. Give up our own way, a challenge in itself. Taking up our cross, and constantly remembering to look up, following Jesus wherever he leads us. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you that we can look into it and get something fresh from it. And this morning, Father, I just pray that as I've shared these few thoughts, that you will help us to remember to keep looking up, to keep our eyes fixed on you, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, no matter the circumstances we find ourselves in, that you will remind us to keep looking towards Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So Lord, just really be with us as we continue through the week. As we continue to read, immerse, and we continue to dive into your word again. Thank you for all the groups that have been going on. Lord, I just pray you will just bless them this coming week as they too meet again. That you'll just give them something fresh and alive. Thank you for all the things that you are doing in our little fellowship. But Father, above all, I just pray that you will just keep us looking to you. That as we continue in our daily lives, whatever that happens to be, that we will remember to look up and follow your leading. Amen. We're going to sing our final song now. And it's a cracker. Crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon the throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for me. All hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Thanks, guys. Could sing that again. All hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praise shall never, never fail throughout eternity. Let's just say the grace together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.